The Island Digest is a sampling of the stories from this week's Journal of the San Juans, Islands Sounder, and Islands Weekly, which are on newsstands now. The July 20th edition is brought to you by Orcas Center and EDC of San Juan County. Headlines from the July 20th, 2022 edition: San Juan Islands' Diverse Marine Life. Opalco climate plans undeterred by U.S. Supreme Court. New orca calf is first born into K-pod since 2011. A new number, 988, will go directly to National Suicide Prevention Lifeline. Plus, choice excerpts from the local sheriff's log. From the Journal of the San Juan Islands, San Juan Islands' Diverse Marine Life, by Heather Spaulding. Locals and visitors gathered at Dead Man Bay Preserve to listen to Dr. Erica Iyengar of Muhlenberg College and longtime researcher at the Friday Harbor Laboratories speak about intertidal life on July 16th. This, the Pacific Northwest, is a biological hotspot for sea stars and a number of species, Iyengar said. She explained that the East Coast only has about one-tenth of the diversity in intertidal creatures as the West Coast. That diversity was clear as an array of critters was discovered in the tide pool of Dead Man Bay's rocky shoreline. Several types of crabs, worms, tiny shrimp, sea stars, and even a clingfish were observed. Iyengar also touched on the sea star wasting disease. The illness wiped out a number of sea star populations in a short period of time. Over the last 4 years, there seems to be some recovery. Some populations seem to be coming back. Iyengar said scientists suspect it was a virus that under normal conditions a sea star could fight off. However, other stressors such as higher water temperatures and salinity changes due to snowmelts from the Fraser River could have weakened their immune systems. Iyengar's enthusiasm for marine life showed through, and the crowd listened well past when the talk was supposed to end. She encouraged people to investigate the tide pools and turn over rocks. But always, Iyengar said, flip the rocks back over once you have taken a good look. If you leave the rock flipped, you are basically killing a little ecosystem, Iyengar explained, because the sun heats up and dries out the area and creatures beneath the rock. From the Islands Sounder, Opalco Climate Plans Undeterred by U.S. Supreme Court, by Toby Cooper. Serving 20 islands with a grid that is already 85% greenhouse gas-free, Orcas Power and Light Cooperative has partnered with its island community to supply clean energy at an affordable price and deliver an institutional response to climate change. But did all this come tumbling down on June 30th when the U.S. Supreme Court decided West Virginia versus EPA, unceremoniously declaring certain institutional climate responses to be unconstitutional? We can't control the political climate, said Opalco's general manager, Foster Hildreth. There is a major transformation well underway to decarbonize our power supply. That train has left the station. In essence, the Supreme Court decided that the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency has no authority to regulate coal-fired and other power plants under the Clean Air Act. Signed by then-President Lyndon Johnson in 1963, the law provided legislative authority to curtail decades of unmitigated dumping of industrial pollutants into the air we breathe. Its extension into climate mitigation is seen by legal scholars as a natural progression based on logic, legal precedent, and national security. Will the damaging ripple effects of West Virginia find their way to Orcas Island? Foster says no, although, as always, the devil is in the details. Washington State, with its climate-focused governor and legislature, does not need Washington, D.C. to lead us forward, according to Hildreth. This region is well positioned with the Clean Energy Transformation Act to stay on track for a broad energy transition. Although CETA may yet be tested under West Virginia, we are still poised to retire the coal generation in our fuel mix, and it's difficult to see how the carbon sector will find feasible solutions to compete. Further insulating San Juan County residents from what some see as the Supreme Court's pernicious and politically charged focus on the USA's climate response is a web of programs and grants that exist apart from federal regulation. To date, Opelco has garnered $48 million in U.S. Department of Agriculture Rural Energy Savings Program funds, called Switch It Up, to offer easy financing for efficiency conversions in homes and businesses. In addition, Opelco has joined with 15 other electric co-ops to negotiate its next, 2028, power supply contracts from a position of strength. Opelco obtained a grant from the U.S. Department of Commerce's Clean Energy Fund to begin to explore the feasibility of tidal generation in the San Juan Islands, a promising avenue in Foster's eyes. This is the first step in a very long process to identify the best sites, engage with stakeholders, examine environmental and wildlife impacts, and position the co-op with beneficial partnerships. The timeline is uncertain, but Opelco is committed to doing the advanced work it will take to be ready. Still, at the heart of all climate response is one indisputable fact. Carbon dioxide, CO2, is a pollutant, and according to the EPA, 25% of CO2 and other planet-warming greenhouse gases come from the generation of electricity. If the Supreme Court's conservative majority is resolute in dismantling regulation to control CO2 production, then Opelco's best alternative is to manage the demand side, which regulation does not even address. The best thing anyone can do to weather the storm is to reduce their total energy demand through conservation, efficiency measures, and electrification of heating and transportation. The climate emergency is accelerating, and it's up to us to quit our carbon habits, Foster said. Especially here in the Salish Sea, we have too much to lose. From the Islands Weekly, new orca calf is first born into K-Pod since 2011. Submitted by the Center for Whale Research. We received word that southern resident orcas were inbound from the west side of Vancouver Island, and in the group were members of K-Pod, who we had not seen since November 21, 2021. We had previously received video and photographs of a possible new calf with K-Pod earlier this year, April and June. Still, we were excited to have the opportunity to see the baby firsthand. Yesterday, Center for Whale Research field biologist Mark Mallison and his colleagues sighted the group northeast of Race Rocks and confirmed that K-20 was traveling with a new calf. They captured images of K-20 with her new baby traveling in a tight group with other family members. CWR designates this newborn K-45. K-45's sex is unknown at this time. Its size and shape are typical of a calf in good physical condition. K-45 is the first calf born into K-Pod since 2011, when K-27 gave birth to K-44, a male. The mother, K-20, born in 1986, is part of the K-13 matriline and has two siblings, K-27, female, born 1994, and K-34, male, born 2001. She is the mother to K-38, male, born in 2004. In county news, a new number, 988, will go directly to National Suicide Prevention Lifeline. submitted by San Juan County and the Washington State Healthcare Authority. On July 16th, the U.S. transitioned to 988, the easy-to-remember number to reach the existing National Suicide Prevention Lifeline. This transition is an important step to strengthening and transforming the crisis care continuum in the U.S. To help our partners communicate about 988, SAMHSA, SAMHSA, has added downloadable print files for wallet cards, magnets, and posters to its 988 partner toolkit. The toolkit already includes logo and brand guidelines, key messages, frequently asked questions, fact sheets in English and Spanish, radio PSA scripts in English and Spanish, and more. 988 print materials are available for ordering from the SAMHSA store, and social media shareables will be available by mid-July, about the basics of 988. SAMHSA anticipates 988 will continue to grow and evolve over the years. In 2021, Lifeline received 3.6 million calls, chats, and texts. That number is expected to at least double within the first full year after the 988 transitions. As of July 16th, the NSPL, Lifeline Crisis Centers, will continue to operate their services in accordance with NSPL Lifeline standards and connect with 911 services and regional crisis services as usual. There will be no change to dispatch for designated crisis responders and mobile crisis response teams or the functions of any other regional crisis service. About the Healthcare Authority. The Washington State Healthcare Authority is committed to whole person care, integrating physical health and behavioral health services for better results and healthier residents. HCA purchases healthcare for more than 2.5 million Washington residents through Apple Health, Medicaid, the Public Employees Benefits Board Program, the School Employees Benefits Board Program, and the COFA Islander Healthcare Program. As the largest healthcare purchaser in the state, we lead the effort to transform healthcare, helping ensure Washington residents have access to better health and better care at a lower cost. And now, excerpts from the local sheriff's log. From July 7th, on Lopez, a deputy responded to a report of a person who went missing while setting up a campsite in the woods. The person wandered away from the campsite and slept in the woods until the morning. Alcohol may have been involved. A Lopez deputy was contacted by a business owner who was concerned about people living in their vehicles in the village. Solutions were discussed, including contacting elected officials for action. Lopez residents and a deputy discussed an ongoing animal noise complaint prior to any future enforcement action. On July 8th, a concerned Lopez citizen called to report hearing a chopping noise. The citizen was afraid that since someone was chopping down wood, someone may be planning on building a fire. A Lopez deputy took a report and reminded the citizen that fires are permitted with certain restrictions. On July 9th, deputies on San Juan responded to a single-vehicle accident on Roche Harbor Road. The driver lost control after swerving to miss an animal on the road and went into a deep ditch, striking a telephone pole. Emergency medical services transported the driver to the hospital by EMS. On July 10th, a deputy on San Juan responded to a report of a driver who was all over the road. The deputy located the vehicle and conducted a traffic stop after the driver turned the wrong way on Front Street at the roundabout. The deputy submitted a driver evaluation request to the Department of Licensing. A deputy on San Juan responded to a report of a possible residential burglary. The reporting party stated they had a few things that just seemed out of place, but nothing appeared to be missing and there were no signs of forced entry. Photographs were taken. On Orcas, a deputy issued a citation to a person for failing to obey traffic control devices in the Prune Alley construction zone. On July 12th, a deputy on San Juan responded to a reported animal problem where a dog had left its porch, gone into the road, and growled and barked at a person walking by. The subject of the dog's bark wanted the incident documented, and the owners, who were apologetic and understood, informed. With the help of island residents, a deputy on Orcas was able to locate and set up the return of someone's lost wallet. This concludes the July 20th, 2022 edition of the Island Digest. This edition is brought to you by Orcas Center and EDC of San Juan County. Orcas Center is presenting a free concert series in the Village Green in East Sound running through August. Learn more at www.orcascenter.org. EDC of San Juan County strives to support small rural enterprises, conduct projects to stimulate new job creation, and strengthen the economic base for working families. Visit www.sanjuansedc.org to learn more. Thank you for listening to the Island Digest, a small sampling of what's in your local print newspapers this week. The Journal, Sounder, and Weekly rely upon advertising, subscriptions, and donations to support our mission of high-quality community journalism. To contribute, visit our websites or email publisher Colleen Smith Summers at csmith@soundpublishing.com. Tune in next week for more news from San Juan County.